Yeah, CNN Student News is back. I'm Carl Azuz. It's great to be kicking off a new school year with you. We have, as you just saw, a new show beginning. We've got some new segments, new graphics, and a new look here in the CNN International Newsroom at CNN's global headquarters. So we're up and running, and so are some U.S. embassies after they were closed for a week. That's our first story of this new school year. There are 19 locations labeled on this map. In countries across parts of Africa and around the Middle East, on August 4th, the U.S. closed its embassies in all of them. Yesterday, it reopened 18 of them. Now, an embassy is a country's official place for government business inside another country. The people who work there, like ambassadors, interact with the local government and other groups. And embassies have a special status. An American embassy may be located outside the United States, but the facility is considered U.S. soil. So the question, why did the U.S. close these 19 embassies? U.S. intelligence organizations intercepted some communications from the Al-Qaeda terrorist group. That group is behind attacks around the globe, including the 9/11 terrorist attacks in 2001. This communication was a threatening message being sent between senior Al-Qaeda members. U.S. officials responded by closing those embassies and issuing a worldwide travel alert for Americans. The one embassy that didn't reopen yesterday is in Yemen. That country is home to Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. U.S. officials kept this embassy closed because of continuing concerns about a possible attack. One of the embassies that reopened was in Egypt. That country's been in the news a lot this summer for a different reason. The North African nation's going through a political crisis. Protests, violence, a forced change in government. And it's not over. All this week, we are going to be recapping some of the big stories that happened while we were off for the summer. Today, we're looking at the tension in Egypt over the past few months.
Egypt has spent this summer in turmoil. Images of civil unrest and violence are all over the news. What's behind it all? If you're a regular student news viewer, you may remember that in May and June of 2012, the country held elections, and Mohamed Morsi became Egypt's first democratically elected president. Before Morsi, President Hosni Mubarak had ruled Egypt for almost 30 years. He was forced out of office in 2011. But a year into his term, many Egyptians wanted Morsi out too. His party, the Muslim Brotherhood, is Egypt's oldest and largest Muslim organization. Its ideology is based on the teachings in the Quran, Islam's holy book. Some say Morsi rushed adoption of a constitution that did not guarantee freedom of religion. Some say he was trying to force the Muslim Brotherhood's strict Islamic code into national laws. And other Egyptians opposed Morsi because they saw no improvement to the struggling national economy and crime situation. When Morsi issued an edict declaring that the country's courts could not overturn his decisions, his opponents began taking to the streets again. Eventually, the Egyptian military, which sided with the opposition, gave Morsi an ultimatum: step aside or we'll force you out. Morsi refused to go. On July 3rd of this year, after days of angry protests, the military removed Morsi from office. Although Egypt's military has a lot of influence in the government, it didn't hold on to power. Government control went to an interim civilian government led by Adle Mansour, who also leads the country's Supreme Court. The deposed Morsi is being held in an undisclosed military location. He faces several criminal charges. Since Morsi's removal, there have been protests and sit-ins in support of him by the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as protests supporting his ouster. Those who support Morsi say he was legally elected and should remain as president. They call his removal from power an illegal coup, and they refuse to accept it. Those who support Morsi's removal say it was a correction, a continuation of the revolution that started with Mubarak's removal more than 2 years ago. This month, President Obama sent Senators John McCain and Lindsey Graham to Egypt to try to talk to both sides, but the protests and violence continue. In recent weeks, hundreds have been killed and thousands injured in Egypt, and many worry about the long-term survival of democracy in the country.